The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
And welcome in, everybody, for a brand new edition of Need to Know on TKR. I'm Kip Kiefer, ready to bring you up to date with everything that's happening and the things that are on my mind this week that hopefully are things that you are considering, or if you have not been, will lead you to do so. This week, what I think you need to know is the fact that there is a very unholy alliance going on that is really bent on trying to change what America is conceptually and in practical terms. Basically, again, this country, we don't need the full-scale history lesson, but basically this country was founded by people who were fed up by monarchies and elites making decisions for them, dictating their every move, what they can do, how much they can make, how much they were duty-bound to turn over to these governing bodies. And also, the lack of individual liberty to determine one's own destiny. And America was a grand experiment that in a representative republic that we could send people to a small-scale federal government that was not all-controlling and not gigantic in size. And it was the states that people lived in that would be the predominant decision makers on day-to-day procedure, not a massive federal government. But now, here 250 years into this experiment, we are seeing a very severe turn toward centralizing and strengthening every day a massive federal bureaucracy that controls everything and kind of returns us back to a historical pattern of what the whole country was founded on to start with. And it's really unfortunate if you think about the conspirators in this, because the bottom line is the bottom line. That's what their motivation is. It's not some grand socialist attitude or some kind of, you know, anti-free market, anti-capitalist, although there are elements certainly woven into that ilk that has those beliefs. But basically, with the federal government and big corporations and high-tech outfits and pharmaceuticals especially, big money operations that have all kinds of incentive to support this kind of approach to life in America and getting away from the principles that were founded on, again, individual liberties and states' rights being the predominant force that determines laws and procedures in each individual jurisdiction. We've gone a different direction now, and because it's so lucrative and so much money can be made, you heard the representative from Pfizer, the head of research and development for their entire mRNA program, on hidden camera reveal that this vaccine situation for Pfizer has been anything but a failure. It's been a cash cow. And if you've been watching any of the March Madness tournament, every other commercial is still trying to keep the golden goose of COVID alive by basically scaring people, saying, hey, if you're overweight or you think you're diabetic or if you smoke or if you're not in great shape, if you get COVID, it could turn serious quick and you need to be ready. You know, again, it's still being marketed, even though the disease, still prevalent and always will be, has been reduced to a rather minor annoyance of illness And of course, any illness hitting a person that's susceptible to certain characteristics can be devastatingly, disastrous. But, you know, the fact that the COVID horse continues to be whipped here to try and inspire more business and more opportunity for big pharmaceuticals is a good example of that this alliance that I'm talking about. Because the biggest customer, of course, in all that is the federal government, who then also wants to keep this alive because their incentive is it's control of the citizenship. It is the mandating and, you know, the things we saw that were imposed before, the mandatory masks, who now we know do not work and are not effective, the mandatory vaccines. Vaccine, by definition, is an agent that helps prevent the spread and the actual acquisition of a disease. Well, this was not a vaccine by definition. This was a treatment at the end of the day, as we look back on everything, that may or may not have had an effect in lessening the severity of this disease. I still think that the later versions that came out, the secondary wave of COVID illness was by design, or not by design, but I guess the terminology that you could use there is that it was less severe with each different variant. So the big pharmaceuticals are taking a bow that their efforts were instrumental in lessening the severity of the disease. I'm not so sure if that was a phenomenon that just the timing lined up with their mass vaccination program. And the fact that people were laid off work and people that, you know, were not given the choice of what they were going to be able to put in their body or not, were the recipients of a lot of abuse in this thing that, in looking back, was unfounded. And some of the most heroic people in our society, first responders and medical personnel and our military, a lot of them were the primary victims of these mandatory demands that they had to become vaccinated or they were going to lose their positions. And that was really heinous. So you've got government cooperating and really leading the charge here because, again, the whole exercise in getting the citizenship in control and used to and accustomed to acquiescence and acceptance of authority from a centralized federal government who truly believes that they know better than you do how to run your life and what aspects of decision making are best for you. It goes back again to the same attitude that we rebelled 250 years ago against and formed our own nation. So it's coming full circle, and it still comes down to a class of people who believe that they are elite. And really, the common thread of a lot of that is the fact that most of these people are Ivy League educated. And unfortunately, those institutions, which used to be so looked up to, now are so caught up in the whole woke movement with diversity and equity and all the key terms that are being used. Their standards now are not to educate the best and brightest. It's to make sure that the best and brightest are totally indoctrinated and mobilized to have this same belief system that just by the fact that they were born with a silver spoon in certain places, I won't be graphic in my usual description on that, but the fact that these people come from this old money kind of elite situation in most cases, or modern day Ivy League students, a lot of them are in not based on merit, but just based on quota systems of trying to make sure that these institutions are up to standards with diversity and equity. And again, I've said on this show many times, there's nothing wrong with diversity and equity, but it can't come at the expense of merit and achievement. And that's exactly what it's doing, because and especially, I'm not just some old white guy saying this, ask Asian Americans about the system and how many of their students, the parents of these children, are seeing their students' honors and different things being withheld, programs being canceled in schools for exceptionally achieving students, because it's unfair to others that these people have these great opportunities based on their hard work and their intelligence. Everybody's got to be the same. And again, equity is a dangerous policy, because you're not lifting people up with equity. You're dragging achievers down to some kind of mediocre level where it doesn't matter how hard they work or how intelligent they are. They really can't be rewarded for those things because it's unfair to others. It's just a system that, again, goes against all of our founding principles, that a person is free to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, and those things are achievable through hard work and grit and determination and self-reliance, and we're trying to get away as a society with those things. And the conspirators, again, big corporation, government, and of course you have to have an information bureau. And I think that's the big thing. There's so much going on now, but where are the headlines? Where are the stories? What is happening and what has happened to our American media? It's really a sad state of affairs when you think about the founding principles of journalism and media and newspapers, and as later electronic opportunities in both radio and television, and now the explosion of the internet. I thought it was interesting this week. I saw a story. I watched a couple of the conventional mainstream network news shows this week, and there's a lot of fluff. There's a lot of propaganda. Let's just call it what it is. And some people might say, well, that's, you're looking at this from a conservative viewpoint. Again, I am not a dyed-in-the-wool conservative. I am pro-American and pro-American system. I believe in all the principles of the U.S. Constitution and what it was founded upon. But I look at these news operations, NBC, CBS, ABC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, especially MSNBC and CNN. These are all networks that are on board. When I was a kid, I remember at first hearing about TASS, the Soviet news agency, completely controlled by the government. And as a seventh or eighth grader, I remember having thoughts of, God, that would be terrible to live in a country that didn't have a free press. That's in the Constitution. It's a right guaranteed to all of us, the right of free speech and the uninhibited operation of a free press are critical elements in what makes America America. And these people have really kind of hijacked the media situation. And again, it's because this incestuous relationship with Ivy League educated, you know, super elite attitude, that they think that they are, and they have been indoctrinated to think this way, to convey the message that America is evil, America is all wrong, America in concept cannot operate with individual liberty and freedom, that this whole kind of socialist, globalist attitude has to be prevalent. And it's really a sad situation from the standpoint of, again, all of, and these people just don't see the fact, because they talk about threats to democracy and different things. If anybody has any dissent, I've said it probably every week on this show since we started, Saul Alinsky in the Radical's Handbook said the greatest weapon we have is ridicule. If any voices dare stand up and state what their opinion is and what the situation is in terms of criticizing and having a problem with the direction we're going, you're a dissenter. I mean, you're anti-American. You're a threat to democracy. And it's just the opposite, which is kind of the mentality of this whole woke movement and everything we're watching happen. You really practice all of these abuses to our system, but the way that you counteract any kind of dissent is you point the finger at just the opposite. I call it reverse reality, where you point the fingers at anyone who has anything to say, criticize them, tear them down, in many cases completely cancel them. And in the situation of the gentleman from Pfizer who made the mistake of talking to a undercover reporter, that person has just disappeared. All record of his digital fingerprint gone. You can't find anything about him. You don't hear anything about that story because it was counter to the ruling cartels sort of approach to things. And that's why you see so many stories suppressed in the media. Because if they're not along the agenda, they're not worth you knowing, and they're not going to tell you the stories. The situation at the border, absolutely disastrous. Hundreds of thousands of people just pouring into this country, many of them carrying illegal drugs that have killed now approaching 200,000 Americans, fentanyl. It's a ridiculous, dangerous situation. Now there have been a trend lately of Chinese nationals crossing the border, and people, and again, these are not just, they want you to believe these were just bedraggled, abused Central American or even South American people that are fleeing oppressive governments and don't have any opportunities. These people are arriving with new clothes and cell phones. There are people from all over the world being flown to the Mexican Peninsula and bussed up to the border. These are not people staggering across the desert over months or periods. It's all miscast. The reality is there. The brave journalists that have been on the border covering this and showing the situation and actually talking to border control officials are telling you the real story, but the mainstream networks are not, because this is against the narrative that they want you to believe. And I know a lot of people don't even watch the conventional news shows anymore. The percentage of people that actually are even interested in all of this is minuscule. But the problem is, if you're not paying attention to what's going on, you are inviting disaster if you believe in America and what our concept is, and you also aspire to have your freedom and your individual liberty. And that's the main reason that so many people are being literally imported into this country, because at the end of the day, the folks that are pulling the strings on all of this activity know that deep down Americans are going to eventually revolt when their liberty starts being taken away. And they're already preparing you for that. All of the COVID exercises and the mandatory federal government crackdowns. But again, those were just exercises to start to train you. And you also hear a lot of these federal officials, when they're under the gun of criticism for decisions that are being made or not being made, and certainly decisions that are not being publicized, their defense basically is, well, America has had a great run and this is the most affluent society in the world. And, you know, Americans just have to kind of bite the bullet and take the pain of some higher prices and some other things, because they've had it so good for so long. You know, it's really kind of another equity situation to get everybody on the same page globally and get a worldwide compliance like the Chinese actually run in their country of having their citizens just stand in line and accept the fact that this is the way life's going to be. That's the exercise that's already being executed now on trying to get you into that mindset. But they know deep down that Americans are going to eventually revolt and resist the seizure of their liberties and individual freedoms. And that's why the almost obsessive continuing policy of just pouring people into this country that are used to those systems coming from governments and systems that do not favor people making their own decisions, that powerful governments make those choices. Unelected bureaucrats are largely behind all of that. And getting those compliant people into the country, even though a lot of them are criminals and gang members and drug dealers, the cartels have made billions of dollars on the border supervising all of this entry and drug trafficking, human trafficking. I mean, so many abhorrent things happening, but the mainstream media isn't covering this because this is not a natural phenomenon, just like COVID, which I am further convinced, more convinced than ever, was a plandemic to create chaos and disarray in the West and economic distress. This whole border situation is orchestrated and choreographed for the specific purpose of changing the citizenry of this country and bringing in people that are going to be more than happy to be living off the government and not have the aspirations and being born with the DNA that Americans have yearning freedom. We talked last week about some of the great voices, Patrick Henry, "Give me liberty or give me death." Really, what they're trying to create is give me money and I'll shut up. That's kind of what's happening right now. That's what they want from you, and that's what they want from all of these new imported citizens that you watch in very short order. They will start pushing once again for these people to just be given amnesty, all these illegal people in the country granted citizenship, millions. I think the number is up to close to 5 million now since the Biden administration took charge and basically opened the borders. And it has opened the situation in our country to just incomprehensible places that we never thought we'd see. So basically, you've got that cabal of different elements, the big federal government, major corporations who are benefiting and cashing in, and big tech who wants to control everything in terms of information. And the government, it has been once again proven but not reported very much at all. You have to do your own reading and research to be able to understand all of this. During the last presidential election, the FBI, the Department of Justice, were intentionally meeting weekly with the major information outlets, Google and Facebook and Twitter, to try and get them prepared for the fact that Russian disinformation is going to start affecting the election. You're going to hear things about the Biden family. They need to be disproved. They need to be squashed. They don't need to even be published. This is the FBI and the Department of Justice doing this. That is not the situation that you need in our federal government. All of these bureaus and agencies have specific duties and a sacred responsibility to apply the law equally and to turn their attention on crime. Instead, they've become politicized and infused with people in leadership positions that are making decisions based on, once again, what's good for the agenda. Right now, you've got all of these stories going on, the Hunter Biden family hearings right now in the House of Representatives is revealing hundreds of bank transactions and wire transfers from all over the world to the Biden family, to seven or eight different Bidens, and all of them are involved in shell companies and different fake investments. I mean, the Biden family is really going to be rivals historically when all of this is finally flushed out, to the Gambinos and the Lucchese's and a lot of the New York crime families from the 1930s and 40s. It's incomprehensible. And of course, Hunter Biden, the smartest man the president of the United States has ever known, quote unquote, left his laptop with all of the damning information at a repair shop and never picked it up. And now is trying to sue the repair guy at the computer shop for releasing his personal information. But later in the lawsuit, and this is absolute God honest truth, later in the lawsuit it says, well, and that's not an admission that that this was the laptop of Hunter Biden, but this guy wasn't authorized to release anything on the laptop. So it's laughable if you read the lawsuit, because he's suing the guy for releasing his information, but on the other hand, it may not have been his laptop, so he's just suing him for releasing whatever information was on that particular device. That despite the fact that he signed a contract when he dropped off the machine that he had 90 days to come back and pick it up, or he would forfeit the laptop as his personal property, and he failed to do so. So anyway, those are what we're up. That's what we're up against. This Ivy League elitist group of government bureaucrats, of high tech, big tech operations, and major corporations that are all cashing in big time and funding, filling the pockets of politicians who are just happy to make the money and keep Washington growing and completely surging to this all-powerful entity that is going to be more and more abusive toward its citizens in demanding their money, their attention, and their obedience. All of those things are now going on. And if you and me and everybody else in this country wants to have anything to say about it, we better step up and get our heads out of the sand, because time is ticking down and the agenda is moving briskly along. That's my thoughts for this week. I know it was a lot of random information, but I hope some things inspired a little bit of attention, and perhaps you'll do your own research, because that's what it's going to take. To be citizens, it's a responsibility. We all have the responsibility of knowing what's going on, not depending on headlines and sound bites, because frankly, in most media outlets that people would consider mainstream, those headlines and sound bites are not available because they do not match up with the agenda that these people are trying to perpetrate. And it's just a shame that in America, with such great traditions in media and journalistic ethics, that now we live in a time where we have a state-run news agency, basically just like TASS for the communist Soviet Union back in the Cold War days. I'm Kip Kiefer. We'll be back with more Need to Know next week. In the meantime, later this week, do not miss our brand new show, Kiefer and Curry. I'll be joining Tony this week, and in honor of the International Women's Month here in the month of March, we are going to construct our personal Mount Rushmores of the four most significant women in our lives, and we will be glad at that time to reveal that list. So don't miss that show later in the week. Kiefer and Curry right here on TKR. I'm Kip Kiefer. Have a great week, everybody. And start doing your reading, start doing your research, and speak up. That's your right as an American. And that's the only thing that's going to save us, because right now we are going to hell on a bobsled, and we need to reverse that trend. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.